Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Scales of Truth. I'm Tyson Harley. Today, just another case study, as a lot of my episodes are, on kind of reverse engineering or giving an example of how Google stepped into our lives, seeming like this purely gift from God, and the technology possibilities of the universe, and then just kind of played a shell game on us. So the too long didn't listen is that the reCAPTCHA, that seems to be the simplest and easiest way to make sure that you're a human, that is purely a veil for you to believe that it is helping you. And in reality, there's a bunch of things going on behind the scenes that really just continue Google's spyware business model. So, what is reCAPTCHA? reCAPTCHA is the, if you will, Turing test, T-U-R-I-N-G, back in the day. Can a robot solve this? Is this too complicated for a bot to do? So you're about to make a purchase or whatever, and so you have to find, say, you have to type out the characters, but the characters that are showing are at different angles. You know, maybe there's a lowercase v and a 6 and a t, but there's lines through the image and there are different angles, and so if a bot were tried to scan that, it wouldn't get it right. But a human can see it easily. And it's also the one where, you know, find the picture of the bridge of the 9 slides. You find a picture with a part of a bridge, and then some of them disappear, it gets reset, and you continue to find the picture, the slides, the panes, that have a picture of a bridge until there's none, and then you hit enter. I forget if maybe it does automatically. So on the surface, it seems like, well, what could be more awesome? That's a very easy way to anonymously show that this person is a person, that nobody is maliciously programming something to just take over a website and the like. But in reality, underneath, that's, again, it's just window dressing, no pun intended. And how I first found out about that, is that if you ever go to like a private tab, say you're trying to do a new incognito tab, or different ones have, different browsers have different terms with this. But if you do a new incognito tab, some sites just simply don't work. And you go, well, why wouldn't they be able to work? Can't you just throw a reCAPTCHA on there and then they'll know I'm human, which is all it's supposed to do? And so then you realize I'm trying to keep my privacy more on an incognito tab or a private tab, a new private window, or for instance, on Brave, a new private window with Tor. And there are sites that just simply won't work. And that's your first clue towards what's going on my computer when I visit these pages. Now, you know that generally, but I'm going to tie it back to the idea of reCAPTCHA. So that was my first hint at what is going on behind the scenes. Why couldn't a reCAPTCHA do this? And I believe I even went to one where the reCAPTCHA itself was not good enough because I was in a private window or a private window with Tor, or an incognito window. And so I'm like, okay, Google, as usual, behind the scenes, turned spyware into a business model. Remember, and this makes sense, right? Because none of us knew Google was listening to us. None of us knew that our permissions meant anything except what we really, well, surely it doesn't mean that it's using a microphone at any given moment. That doesn't make sense. But then part of you goes, well, why would the web, why would the application itself need permissions to my microphone? If I'm trying to fill out the search bar, then my computer, my phone is what's converting my voice to text, and the text just simply is going up in the search bar and the like. So we all kind of wonder, and then we got this idea that, is it listening? And then, you know, it's basically confirmed. And it's due to Google Ad Services, right? And then everybody feels like they have to be tied into Google Ad Services, and then that's how the big tech censorship occurred, because where are you if you don't have another business model without Google Ad Services? So now the kicker on what's going on with GDPR. Well, underneath, I'm sorry, not GDPR, reCAPTCHA. So if you look up what's going on with reCAPTCHA, you can find an article called GDPR and reCAPTCHA and how to stay compliant with GDPR. And so this is going to be a lesson in looking at breadcrumbs and tea leaves, because the powerful get to control narratives a bit, and then everybody kind of toes the line and goes, oh, no, we don't say that reCAPTCHA is straight a privacy invasion tool, but if not in so many words, we say it in other words more vaguely. So what is GDPR? It's a General Data Protection Regulation. So this is a European regulation on information privacy. So it's privacy law, human rights law. So think about what this means. And if when I looked up what's going on with reCAPTCHA and privacy, does it not really actually invade privacy? And I get this website off of measuredcollective.com. GDPR and reCAPTCHA, how to stay compliant with GDPR. Now think about this. I just told you there's no good reason you couldn't have this on the site, and all the site does is report back, or this tool reports back, yes, this is a human. Continue to the next step. It's allowed. The thing that did this exercise passed the Turing test, and so it's a human, and that's all that's needed. And so when I say it's window dressing, here we have something that says reCAPTCHA, how to stay compliant with GDPR, which is a privacy regulation. Well, why would it be a privacy regulation? Because underneath it's spyware. That's why. And so I'm going to go ahead and find just a little bit of this. Google reCAPTCHA is a great tool for preventing spam and abuse on your website. It's easy to integrate, effective, and free. Well, of course it is. They want to make their spyware easy to integrate. What's not to like? Well, while this tool is great for preventing spam, it can create another set of problems for you in terms of GDPR compliance. Well, why would that be? All I'm doing is passing a Turing test. Oh, I know why. It's a Google product, and therefore it's a privacy invasion tool. So then it says, in this article, we will explore how to stay compliant with GDPR and PECR, which must be a related privacy type regulation, when using reCAPTCHA. We'll start by exploring how reCAPTCHA works and the types of data that it collects. I told you, it's a privacy invasion tool. Google's business model is spyware. And then when you don't think of it, behind the scenes, other businesses realize, oh, I'm getting targeted advertising. But do you really, like, why couldn't there be something on your screen going, we are collecting this information right now? What information are we collecting? If so, more people would, you know, lock down their computer like I do. So, yeah, then we'll outline some of the most important privacy implications. After this, we'll outline some of the tasks you must complete in order to stay compliant with GDPR when using reCAPTCHA. Guess what it'll be? It'll be like, make sure you point to a privacy policy, and then they'll scan through it, and they'll just hit agree and consent. Finally, provide details of some alternative solutions that require less compliance work. I know what would be. A Turing test without an underlying spyware. That would be perfect. Too long, didn't read. Literally, that's the name of the paragraph here. They have that written in the paragraph. You probably need consent to use Google reCAPTCHA. Even Google's on e-user consent policy says so. Or you'll need a team of lawyers to defend your corner and justify your reasoning. If bots can choose to deny consent, and there are other less privacy-intrusive alternatives on that market that still work well, then what is the point of all this hassle? Which is the point we're getting to. And again, some of you are probably already convinced. Great, go listen to another podcast. But if you'd like to hear two or another episode, if you'd like to hear more to absolutely cement it and concrete it, and then go, how did they get to say all this crap and don't just say, what the hell is this piece of shit doing? How did they get to say that? And I always find that interesting. So again, then on measuredcollective.com, GDPR and reCAPTCHA, how to stay compliant with GDPR. Then they then go to summarize how Google reCAPTCHA works. It works by tracking and analyzing your user behavior on the website. So again, window dressing. You thought the thing that you interacted with was in reCAPTCHA was just those panes that you see until you said, congratulations, you're a human. Doesn't always seem like something you should be congratulated on, but I guess versus a bot. Yeah. But right here, it's not that, no, past it. How does it work? Well, very easy. The user gets a chance to interact with the Turing test, and then the Turing test, T-U-R-I-N-G, after the famous mathematician, then is passed. And you get to go to the next step with the little check mark underneath of the logic. This user was able to go to this next page because they were able to pass the Turing test. Check mark. But instead, Google reCAPTCHA works by tracking and analyzing your user's behavior on your website. This includes looking at how the user navigates through the site with their mouse, how they click between content, the time they take to complete tasks like fill in forms, and the device they are using to load the website. See, all those are excuses to kind of, again, window dress once you know secondarily. What do you mean it's not done after Turing test? And they go, oh, well, you know, someone would be able to fill out a form in only 0.5 seconds. They're not a human. That's their excuse. But the real reasoning is to be able to follow through, and you are accepting terms on doing the Turing test, or on the site itself, you're accepting terms just by accepting, basic site terms or basic site cookies. And the cookies say Turing test gets to get up all in your business the whole way through. So again, how the user navigates through the site, how they click between content, the time they take to complete tasks like fill in forms, and the device they are using to load the website. From this data, combined with whether the user has logged into a Google account already or not, so again, the 666 number, that is Google, the tool generates a score of how likely the user is to be a bot. See, that's the window dressing. You already decided and proved they weren't a bot. Is it enough to know that after about 3 repetitions through the 9 panes, when I'm either able to pick a bicycle or not, that I'm a user, or is your Turing test suck and it wouldn't pass an artificial intelligence state-of-the-art bot? Because why put up the window dressing if it's not good enough? So in other words, why put it up, which really proves it's window dressing. So for example, if a user loaded the homepage of a website first, then clicked through to a page about a product feature, and then clicked through to get a quote form to type in their contact information over a few minutes, this would appear as fairly genuine. However, if the user came direct to the page with a get a quote form, filled in the contact details within 1 second, just what I said, and then submitted a form, this would appear suspicious? Oh, Lord. Is reCAPTCHA GDPR compliant? So again, the European Union regulations on privacy. Out of the box, no. Which is their point. They're like, you know what? We're going to invade what we invade. And guess what? Your website won't be compliant. Here we're stating openly, Google puts a product out that is not even compliant with privacy regulations. Somehow they get to big entity bully you into taking on the risk. Isn't that interesting? Out of the box, the world's biggest tech company ships something, if you will, delivers a product that is definitely not privacy regulation compliant. Out of the box, no. Google's reCAPTCHA tool deployed solely on a website without adequate notices and consent mechanisms would breach GDPR. So, you know, when you're thinking about putting it up there, they go, yeah, by the way, this is on you. Yes, Google advises you to display their privacy policy and terms on the page that you use Google reCAPTCHA, but that's not enough to make things compliant. So instead of building in, oh yeah, this is probably not compliant, user, here's what all that stuff, it says, well, we won't do that. We will advise the website that they should display the Google privacy policy and terms on the pages that you use Google reCAPTCHA. Why couldn't you build it into the tool? So people, what do you mean it's not privacy compliant? I thought all it was doing was finishing a test. And so, yeah, it says, yeah, the tool works by collecting and processing a lot of personal data about how your users interact with your website. It uses cookies and other tracking technologies to do this. So, did you hear me? A lot of personal data. So, earlier on, we're like, we could really discover if they were able to fill us out in a second. So that's your secondary excuse, your veil. Well, obviously, that's the sales pitch, right? If this person goes to the contact form, this quote person, and fills it out in a second, well, you'll see a challenge there. Yeah, but then why are you collecting the personal data? Right? Why are you collecting the personal data? That is activity data. And it says it uses cookies and other tracking technologies and transfers the personal data to U.S. servers in order to complete its processing. Now, there's zero reason. Again, this is what I say about the cloud computing. Computers have never been more potentially self-contained, right? All this garbage of everything having to go up to the cloud, that's really an offshoot of the privacy invasion business model. Because if it stays on your self-contained computer, like just download the Turing app, the Turing ability on your computer once and it's self-contained, it reports back to only the website. Is the Turing data passed or not? Why would it need to go all the way to the US for processing? That makes no sense because it's not going to the U.S. to process. It's going to the U.S. for purposes of the spyware, constantly taking in more information on users. These people think, well, at least I'm making sure that I'm not going to get bot raided. We are being bot raided. It's called Google reCAPTCHA. Again, it transfers the personal data to U.S. servers in order to, quote, complete its processing. There's nothing about the Turing data that would need to go to the U.S. except that they've designed it that way. Any little shit processing program can mark some task complete, right? And go and then look at the time that was involved. How quickly did it browse? How quickly did it fill out the form? How quickly did it hit the submit button since when they first went to the website? And have a time limit and say, this is an impossibility. So then they could report only that impossibility to the website. There's no reason that it would have to go all the way to the U.S. for Google processing. I know I'm being repetitive, but I just want to show you how ridiculous Google is. It is your enemy, all right? It is the tool of censorship. And you keep going, yeah, but they got YouTube TV and they got a good sports package and unlimited DVR. I wonder why. Because the game is tilted in their favor. Because they went along with the spyware model. Because they have more money than God. I don't know that God has a bank account, but it's a phrase, right? It's an expression. So, therefore, there are several issues with Google reCAPTCHA and GDPR that must be addressed before the user can be compliant. Primary issue relates to GDPR proportionality principle, and we'll get to that. Hold on, let me review this a little bit and I can summarize. So there are a couple basic issues here, and maybe three issues, but one is called the legal basis to process data and the proportionality principle. We'll cover that first. Then international data transfers, and then cookies and consent. So the main part of the legal basis to process data and the proportionality principle is this. It's funny because, remember, I do have a law background, and I didn't practice much, but the education stays with you, the attention to detail, and that's how I look at things. I am, you know, I'm into contracts these days, and in many ways I work with contracts and these types of, you know, specific documentation. So it says, yeah, you got to have a legal basis for processing the personal data first before you can process that data. Because remember, if it was a Turing test, it wouldn't even be personal. Did this anonymous user pass it or not? So again, we're talking about this personal data that goes over all the way to the U.S. or this even being processed at all to begin with. So behind the scenes, you're not saying, hey, Google reCAPTCHA, in order to pass your Turing test, let me give you all of my information, including my server. Let me type it in. No, they just take it from you via cookies. So the six allowed legal bases are consent, performance of a contract, a legitimate interest. So even performance of a contract, like, did you mean to be a part of a contract by visiting a website? A vital interest, a legal requirement, and a public interest. And therefore, the most appropriate legal basis would likely be consent or legitimate interest. So those are the six possible. You at least given consent when you're just poking around to decide if you want to buy that thing you want to buy on this specialty website. And then it says the proportionality principle. This makes a lot of sense. It has a lot to do with basically Fifth Amendment type things in the United States. It's like, what was your basis and how much do you search and seizure and warrants and the like? Like, it has to be proportional. You can't just do a fishing expedition in essence. So this would be the basis for this. The proportionality principle states that data processors must collect and process data that is proportionate to your needs only. Well, by definition, Google's not. You're just trying to go, is this a real user or a bot? It's only a harmful if it's a bot. I can tell that fairly quickly because can they pass the damn Turing test? So how is it proportional to do much, much, much more than that? So then continuing, Google reCAPTCHA's data collection could be viewed as excessive because while the amount of data it collects makes it effective at preventing spam, you can achieve a similar outcome using other less privacy intrusive approaches that collect less data. It therefore would be hard to argue that the data use is proportional. So there's that issue. Then let me absorb international data transfers quickly. I'll be right on. Oh my Lord. International data transfers are like, hey, as regard EU, there's an extra restriction when the data goes outside of that area, i.e. when it goes to the United States. So it says, Google, I tell you, these mother... Remember when you're that big, you've got your army of lawyers and you've got your army of sales folks. This becomes circular. Isn't this interesting? So Google is using spyware called reCAPTCHA. They're wrangling you into having the responsibility to tell, instead of them incorporating it into their tool, they're wrangling you into the responsibility to tell people that your privacy is being invaded, right? And then it says, so it sends personal data to the U.S., so website managers who use this service will be facilitating a restricted transfer. Therefore, those website managers, not Google, not within their reCAPTCHA, where it would be most primary and people would see it most obviously and most transparently. No, website managers who use the service will be facilitating a restricted transfer to the U.S. So website managers who use this service must put in place appropriate due diligence and safeguards. Now wait for this. When I say circular and Google and mother are all in one sentence, you'll understand why. The most appropriate safeguard is likely to be capitalized, because this is what you do with contract terms, standard contractual clauses, or IATD, International Data Transfer Agreement. You can complete these clauses by requesting them from Google. They should be signed and stored. A date should be set to review these agreements. You also need to update your privacy policies and other documentation to make sure that users are aware of their data being subject to international transfers. And the reason I say, and I could be wrong now that I read that again, I expect the mystery garbled language that you can put into your policies is also coming from Google. So as they say, yeah, use our spyware, but it's on you, but that's okay. Here's the language so that we're best allowed to use our spyware. After it becomes standard and not enough people complain, it becomes its own reference. Does that make sense? So it says the most appropriate safeguard is likely to be standard contractual clauses or IATD. And as far as completing those clauses, I'm a little confused. It says it should be signed and stored. I'm not sure a date should be set to review these agreements. I'm not sure if that means the user sees them. I don't think so. It's that the website itself is, quote, aware. You know, the website managers themselves is aware. The user doesn't see it. And then in some fashion, they update their privacy policies. And that's a part you see. And then wonder how, you know, jargony of language that is, or how really generic and vague it is. So then we go to cookies and consent. And so let me review that real quick. Not a lot here in cookies and consent. You've seen the standard. I imagine European Union is not much better. Basically, you get, hey, these are the standard ones. And then you get, here are the ones that are not standard. But if you don't accept the non-standard ones, then all of a sudden the website doesn't work. In some cases. In this case, if they manipulate it right, maybe, you know, you can use a website a little bit, but you can't use a straight incognito mode. Like I said, I've seen it before. I might have to do that as a follow-up and just give you a case study where something that should be working just fine, because I'm not even going anywhere where I'm signed in yet, I'm just looking at information, just gets absolutely broken, and then you're not even allowed to use the reCAPTCHA. And I can tell you, if you use Brave, which is a more secure browser based off of the Chrome framework, then if you do Shields Up, which is their, just make most websites Shields Up, but if something's not working, you do Shields Down. Most of them do work with Shields Up pretty well. But one place, I believe, that if you do, you got to bring Shields Down to even do reCAPTCHA on most sites. So that's not even going to incognito mode. And I said Fifth Amendment, it's Fourth Amendment search and seizure, I think. I don't know why I said that. So now going on to, can I use Google reCAPTCHA under legitimate interest? Remember they gave the five or six possible ways you could use it under GDPR. And one was consent. And then they go, well, what about this other one, legitimate interest? And we get to search and seizure law, because search and seizure law eventually goes to what is the privacy expectations, which is funny because I remember a case where all of a sudden someone had a fence, so they expected privacy. That's why you put up a fence. And yet, there are cases where their expectation of privacy wasn't good enough when either one of these or both, and I can't remember which, so don't quote me, when infrared was used from outside the house to get a sense of what was in the building. And no, I'm not talking like humans or like we're about to go in anyway, we have a warrant. It'd be more like growing operations, so you have a heat lamp. So you're in your house, you're expecting privacy. You got some marijuana, a heat lamp, grow lamp, and guess what? They eventually say, well, with new technology, people have lowering expectations of privacy. Oh, wait a second, isn't that circular? Because your technology is now able to invade my privacy easier doesn't mean that I expect you to, that it shouldn't be exceptional. There's another one where I think it was also marijuana, but rather than, so they have a fence around their operations or whatever, and it may or may not have been marijuana, but point is they have a fence and you cannot see if you are on the ground, but you could see if you used a helicopter. Well, most people don't expect helicopters to be hovering near their house. That's not a usual expectation. You know, you don't put a dome over your house. Nobody puts a dome, a opaque dome over their house. So you'd think that, no, they expected privacy. So unless you had better information, you shouldn't have been able to go upon that. Because remember, information, reasons for warrants can come from a lot of places. I'm getting back to this privacy deal here for this. But, and they said, well, no, That didn't hit the expectation of privacy standard. Like, he literally put up a fence so that people near, and it was not like it was three, I'm sure it was a 6-foot fence or something, and all the way around. The only way they could see it is get up into an area where you can only see if you are somehow able to hover. And so a helicopter was allowed. So at any given moment, if there's a helicopter around, you have no expectation of privacy. And so I say that because it's a parallel here. They say, for purposes of legitimate interests, you know, well, what about, you know, we have an interest in keeping our website secure and minimize the administration of work required to clean out spam accounts and messages. What about that? And they say, you know, a lot of online banks do this and entertainment services, and that's at least their excuse, and they're big dogs. And this becomes the issue. If they've got a good legal team, or, you know, their boilerplate is better than your boilerplate, they go, well, yeah, but prevention of fraud, that can lead to higher costs for consumers, right? And so couldn't we use that same reasoning for Google reCAPTCHA? And you would kind of go, yeah, but what about proportionality? Well, proportionality may or may not be this in this. Companies argue that this type of data, no, it is in here, of data of user behavior on the site or app as Google CAPTCHA, argue that, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. This type of data collection analysis is proportional and privacy conscious because the data collected is effectively anonymized. Bullcrap it is. It is not anonymized. If back at Google, they can put it back to your computer address, they are collecting it all. They have 17 different data points to get this back to the same user. And they keep creating more data points to get it back to the same user. It's not one magic field that ties it back. And just because Google reCAPTCHA goes back without that one magic field, if it did, that therefore it's anonymized. No, they have 17, 30 different ways to tie it back. I mean, I'm guessing on the quantity, but in no way is it truly anonymized. But yeah, you make that argument, but the anonymization depends on the specifics back at Google. And they say, yeah, and you use people's data in ways they would reasonably expect. And then down here they go, argue that this type of data collection is proportional privacy conscious because this data collection is effectively anonymized. They also argue that users could likely expect this type of processing to take place. This is where their little virus tentacle piece of webbing into all parts of our society gets us, because once it's allowed for a period of time, there's a precedent. The precedent even affects the expectation of privacy. This is why you got to stop it early. You know, you got to go, no, I shut down my Google all the time because I effing hate it. You know, if some decent proportion said that, and then they'd be like, no, there's no expectation of privacy. They expect this type of processing to take place. No, I don't. Therefore, you may be able to apply a similar reasoning to the use of Google reCAPTCHA. Fraud and abuse of your website is likely to increase your cost of administration, blah, blah, blah. It's logical that it's within legitimate business interest. However, if it tested, it's yet to be tested in law. And again, then, going back to what I was saying, they echo what I say. I hadn't even read this part. There are also many more implications when using a tool provided by Google, parentheses, a company with vast amounts of user data already and jurisdiction in the USA where the law permits the surveillance of non-domestic citizens, compared to using a more specialized security company's technology who does not have access to this kind of data already or have jurisdiction in the USA. And again, law says one thing, and then this is what really occurs, unfortunately. They said, our current analysis is that it's unlikely that regulators taking a strict interpretation of GDPR, in other words, what it actually says, and are they going to enforce it? That's what that means in our world. A lot of things say things, and then do they enforce it? Regulators taking a strict interpretation of GDPR would tolerate this approach because Google reCAPTCHA would likely fail to fulfill the proportionality principle, which is also in this area, the legitimate interests. And then just to repeat, and we'll get to other issues with Google Recaption and legitimate interests, but just to emphasize, you know, basically it's saying what I'm saying. The tool works by gathering a large amount of personal data. It goes beyond a simple analytics tool that records page views and conversions. Like, in other words, okay, they went to this page, then the product page. Okay, cool. They spent this much time on this product page, and then they went to a sub-product page that was something about more. And then they put something in their cart, and so therefore they're saying records page views and conversions. Okay, this person spent this much time looking at these products. Three of these out of the seven converted, and you can go from there. Instead, the tool analyzes mouse clicks, mouse movements, and whether the user is logged into a Google account already. Well, why is that? Because they're tracking immediately the fact, and then that information doesn't even necessarily have to go to the U.S. through Google. Who knows what underneath, just because of the fact that you're in your Google user already, it doesn't even have to pop through to CAPTCHA and the CAPTCHA processing, reCAPTCHA. The data could potentially reveal other personal traits about the user, especially this visit data is combined with data from other websites serving the Google reCAPTCHA code. Hashtag duh. There are solutions that help you minimize spam, which rely on far less personal data, such as hCAPTCHA, or a combination of spam filters and honeypots, you think? Or, like I said, just a legitimate Turing test. T-U-R-I-N-G, I probably am not. I find myself, I have an accent now. I catch it when I listen to myself. Turing test? I don't know. I think I'm picking up kind of a weird southern or Valley guy accent, kind of some combination. Therefore, it would be difficult to fulfill the proportionality principle of legitimate interest. In other words, if there are other alternatives, it would also be difficult to fulfill the necessity part of a balancing test. To quote the ICO, is the processing proportionate to that purpose, or can it be seen as using a sledgehammer to crack a nut? And it says straight and simple to make my point, folks. And maybe that's as good as anything to end on. Google reCAPTCHA V3. So this is 2021. They're probably on version 5 by now. I'm going to start that again. Google reCAPTCHA V3 takes a sledgehammer approach. Again, the quote, and this is no doubt a regulation court or some place that's like how to interpret regulations. To quote the ICO, quote, is the processing proportionate to that purpose? Or could it be seen as using a sledgehammer to crack a nut? End quote. Google reCAPTCHA, this is now quoting the article, Google reCAPTCHA V3 takes a sledgehammer approach. The article goes on quite a bit, but that is GDPR and reCAPTCHA, how to stay compliant with GDPR. Turns out that if you use anything from Google, and it is now just ingrained, embedded into everything, like the virus that it is, like the little just working its way with its roots all the way through the system everywhere. If you use anything from Google, again, their business model is spyware. So how to stay compliant with GDPR? In a real sense, you better be on top of it, and good luck. Okay, guys, thanks for listening. I'm Tyson Harley. Catch me over on Chemology 411, where we have something like 256, 258 episodes now. And then, of course, all of the library here. Thanks for listening.